ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 5, Text 26. Sri Sukha Uvacha Hatambari Sastanaye Surajyam समान सीलेषु विसृज्य धीरा वनं विवेशात्मनि वासुदेवे मनो दधाद् द्वस्त गुण प्रवाह श्रीसुक उवाच अताम्बरीशस्तनयेषु राज्यम् समानशीलेषु विसृज्य धीरा वनं विवेशात्मनि वासुदेवे मनो ददाद्वष्टगुणप्रवाह Matajis, please. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Atha, in this way, Ambarisha, King Ambarisha, Tanayesu, unto his sons, Rajyam, the kingdom, Samana Silesu, who were equally as qualified as their father, Visrijya, dividing, Dhira, the most learned person, Maharaj Ambarish, Vanam, into the forest, Vivesa, entered, Atmani, unto the Supreme Lord, Vasudeve, Lord Krishna, who is known as Vasudeva, Mana, mind, Dadat, concentrating, Dvashta, vanquished, Guna Pravaha, the waves of material modes of nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, because of his advanced position in devotional life, Maharaj Ambarish, who no longer desired to live with material things, retired from active family life. He divided his property among his sons, who were equally as qualified, and he himself took the order of Vanaprastha and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully upon Lord Vasudev. Purport. As a pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish was liberated in any condition of life because, as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami, a devotee is always liberated. Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasagira nikilasvapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami thus instructs that if one's only desire is service to the Lord, he is liberated in any condition of life. Maharaj Ambarish was undoubtedly liberated in any condition. But as an ideal king, he accepted the Vanaprastha order of retirement from family life. It is essential for one to renounce family responsibilities and fully concentrate on the lotus feet of Vasudev. Therefore, Maharaj Ambarish divided the kingdom among his sons and retired from family life. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Destarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare. So generally speaking, Lord Chaitanya said, a king means wine and woman. In the pastime where King Prataparudra was trying to get a meeting with Lord Chaitanya through his spiritual master Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya actually refused to see King Prataparudra just because he had this title, king. Lord Chaitanya refused, and King Prataparudra said in this famous verse, how, O Lord Chaitanya, you have come to this world to deliver everyone except this one sinful rascal named King Prataparudra. So this is general understanding of what it means to be a king. Also, we know the pastime of, you know, Yamunacharya, how he spoke about himself that, you know, being a king, he had like so many worldly attachments. Of course, it's pastimes, but Muchakunda also said in the Krishna book, so from so many devotee kings, Vaishnava kings, we have an understanding like what it means to be a king. But we see in this life and teachings of Ambarish Maharaj, what kind of king he was. He was actually very special, Raja Rishi. And we're reading in this text, in this translation, how Maharaj Ambarish actually took to this Vanaprastha ashram. I mean, you know, it's no need for Maharaj Ambarish to take to Vanaprastha ashram. Because we saw what kind of Grihastha ashram he was leading. He's so exalted after 5,000 years, or so many thousand years. We are reading about him and glorifying him. And it's explained like he was expert at all the 9 devotional activities, not just 1 or 2. So he was so exalted personality. But we read in this verse how he went to the forest. Prabhupada gives the example how an advanced devotee is like a really like dry coconut. Some of us, you know, we've seen how when the coconut gets really old and mature, it looks like, you know, attached, but then when you shake, the inside pulp, the meat is separated. It's so dry and ripe that it rattles. Like that, a devotee, so-called, looks like he's attached to worldly activities, but he's internally is very detached. But Maharaj Ambarish and so many others, so many of our acharyas, they've taken to this Vanaprastha or Sannyas ashram to set an example. It's a sacrifice, like Krishna explains in the Gita. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tad evataro jana. Whatever a great person does, and then the common men will follow. This is always the case. Now we don't have, you know, so many examples, but still people follow. We have to follow somebody, whether it's musicians or politicians or, you know, whoever it may be, we have some role model. So a devotee like Ambarish Maharaj is setting a good example so common people can follow. Like the saying goes, you know, actions speak louder than words. There's actually a Christian saying that it explains how one should preach all day, but one should also speak sometimes. In other words, whatever we are doing, that's also preaching. And whatever we are doing, that inspires the newcomers. It's because they're closely seeing what we are doing. This example of Srivast Thakur, famous example, how this envious Gopal Chapal put this puja paraphernalia of Kali outside the house of Srivast Thakur. And Srivast Thakur actually came out and saw, and he was not disturbed, he was not concerned. And he was rather calling everybody, come and see, you know, I'm a Kali worshipper. He was calling everybody. So one time I asked my Guru Maharaj, so according to this pastime, like we are not supposed to be attached. We shouldn't care. We shouldn't care less about what people think about us. Is that the message? And my Guru Maharaj explained how, actually as a preacher, we should be concerned. about what people think. And my guru explained how if you are wrong, you should rectify it. But if you're not wrong, and if it's a misunderstanding as a service, you shouldn't be lazy, you should clarify it. Because, you know, the nature of the world is such that, you know, it's very easy to actually misunderstand. And we could be like doing so much service, but generally people of this world are so ungrateful, like, you know, you make one small mistake and that's what everybody like talks about. So we have to be, as a service, we have to be careful. We have to be careful with, you know, the example we are setting. Like Prabhupada gives this amazing example of misunderstanding. Prabhupada says how there was a farmer and he went to do the farming and he left his little baby under the protection of his dog. So when the farmer came back, the baby was not there and the dog had, you know, like blood all over his face. So the farmer immediately came to the conclusion, oh no, the dog has eaten my child. So with his, you know, whatever he had in his hand, he killed the dog. And then when he went inside and saw there was a snake, a snake has come, and the dog had, you know, fought with the snake and killed the snake. So the dog had blood all over his face, but the child was completely safe. But because, you know, he was not thinking properly, he came to this conclusion that this, you know, must have happened. And also in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this pastime how Lord Chaitanya was giving special mercy to this little boy. This little boy would come, Lord Chaitanya would bless him profusely. I mean, you can imagine, you know, you can go and be with Lord Chaitanya. And they would chant and everything. But Jagadananda Pandit was actually unhappy. Jagadananda Pandit was like very disturbed. So Lord Chaitanya said, what's the problem? Why are you so disturbed? And Jagadananda Pandit said, you know, I know you give mercy to this nice boy, but the problem is the boy's mother is a widow and she happened to be like a beautiful young woman. So Jagadananda Pandit said, you're innocently giving mercy, but you know, the people are going to speak about this and that, you know. So Jagannatha Pandit was very concerned and Lord Chaitanya was actually very grateful. So the point being is, we see exalted people, even though like they're not affected, but they're setting example for us. It's so important. Because without this example, like, you know, we have no direction. One time Prabhupada actually went to Kumbh Mela and he was with his disciples and it's like millions and millions of people and there's hardly any facility, especially Prabhupada was really sickly and old and there was hardly any heat or hot water or any nice prasadam. It was very difficult. So the disciples, especially from America and Europe, they're not used to this kind of austere condition. They were like suffering so much and, you know, they were sleeping in. So Prabhupada got up exactly like, you know, Brahma Muhurta and went and bathed in ice cold water and started chanting. And the disciples naturally, you know, got the message like, you know, for spiritual master, so old man, and he's waking up and taking cold shower and chanting. We're like in our teens and late teens and 20s. Like, you know, we should be doing that too. And one time there was disciples. They were not attending Bhagavatam classes, they were like choosing, okay, if this speaker is speaking, I will go. If this other speaker speaks, I won't go, like that. So Prabhupada said this famous instruction. Prabhupada said, when my disciples speak, I go and listen. I'm very happy to listen. Many times we heard, you know, how Prabhupada all of a sudden would ask one of his disciples, like, that's been around for like 2 years or even like 1 year, to chant slokas or give class. Prabhupada was very strict with the disciples when he's just dealing with them. But then when Prabhupada was introducing them to his God brothers or life members, Prabhupada would glorify them like he had five mouths. So Prabhupada said, you know, I go and listen when my disciples speak. Don't think, you know, don't become a better Paramahamsa than your Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada said, you have to go and hear the class. And also another time Prabhupada said, if we don't chant 16 rounds every single day attentively, then any moment we can actually fall victim to Maya. Maya can actually capture us. So this is the process that Prabhupada has given us. This is, if we don't take shelter of this process, then, you know, it's no way we can become detached. It's actually a science. It just exactly works. The more we take shelter, like the more we pray to Krishna, the more we chant, the more we read, we hear lectures, to that degree, we can actually become detached from this world. It's actually a science. And this is actually our hope in this age that we live in. This is our only hope. Otherwise, you know, practically speaking, we're not really qualified for anything. Varna, whether it's birth or ashram, we're not qualified. Everybody is actually confused. Many times, like, householders are confused in their duties, brahmacharis are confused, vanaprasthas. So it's actually a very difficult time we live in. One time Prabhupada was asked, the disciples were asking so many questions, intricate questions about Ekadasi Vrata. Prabhupada said, you know, my disciples can't even follow the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada didn't bother to answer any of these questions. Like, what's the point, you know? You can't even do the basics. The Bhagavatam says, Kalau dosha nide rajan hasti eka mahat gunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param raja. That we are actually living in this age that's ocean of faults. If you go to Venice Beach, we're not surprised that there's water there. You know, it's ocean. Similarly, in this age, it's like ocean of faults. We read in the Vedic scriptures, in the heavenly planets, if somebody makes a mistake, somebody behaves, you know, very low class, before they curse, they actually say, oh, you're acting just like a human being, so I think you should go to the earth planet and take birth there. So that's how they view us. And what to speak of a human being of Kali Yuga? It's actually a very sad position. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared it to like a honeycomb, just like when you have a honeycomb, we know what it looks like. It's like clusters of bees and honey. So we, in this age, we are actually honeycombed with so many faults. This is our qualification. And therefore it's actually very easy to find fault in others, because it's not very hard to find fault in others, because everybody is full of it. But the problem is, like, you know, as a society, as a movement, Our goal is to have like love and trust, to develop loving relationship, loving dealings, and trust each other. But it's hard to do that, you know, when you don't really know like who is your real friend, because if somebody is like fault finding, at the same time they come across like they're really sweet to you, then it's hard to like, you know, trust that person. How could you? So it's actually a great enemy. It's a great enemy for our individual spiritual lives and as a society. So this is something like, you know, we are discussing so many verses about like Vaishnava aparadha and offense. We read chapters and chapters. But it's good sometimes when you're giving class, you actually get to study the verse and remember. Usually if you're in a class, there's so many things going on in our mind, we can't wait to go to breakfast, so we don't really hear. Like, you know, they say between 2 years there's this thing called brain and we're supposed to absorb what we hear, but it's very rare in Kali Yuga. So this is something to watch out for. Because to neglect anything means we are sure to lose it. It's just a question of time. As soon as there's neglect, whether there's, you know, health or relationship or, you know, building or car, you name it. Like as soon as there's neglect, we're not serious about it, then it's going to be finished. So we have to be like conscious. We can't like be an automatic pilot. And what to speak of neglecting chanting. That's like the lifeline. When we neglect the chanting, then everything gets spoiled. Because we are ignoring the most important activity. And the amazing thing is, at the end of the day, what brings us real happiness after everything, you know, we think we'll find happiness in this or that, but we always fall short in our expectations. But one thing that really brings happiness is us encouraging each other to chant and do service like that, because, you know, after all, that's what, you know, is going to bring us happiness, and that's what's going to give us success. Therefore, our acharyas explain that we have to be in the mood of beggars. Not beggars that begs just some leftovers, but beg like prem bikari, like beggars of love for Krishna. And if we are, you know, we can be like genuine beggars if we think we have something. Like I remember one time I was catching a train from Mathura to Mayapur. And you know, in India it happens all the time, the train was like 8 hours late. And I'm just sitting there, like it's a very small train station. And all these girls, like 5, 6, 7, they all came to me and they were like, oh my God, they were harassing me. Like no matter what I give them, it's never enough. And more coming. Because they go and tell their friends, he gave me this, and you know. So they were so like serious. I mean, they wouldn't let go. I chanted like 16 rounds ignoring them, and they kept going, like kept going. I had to give them something, otherwise they wouldn't leave me alone. And then somebody else comes. I mean, I had this huge bag. I couldn't lug it around, so I left it there and I went to the toilet. And this like 4 or 5 year old girl was trying to take it home. I mean, it's like twice as big as her. So I was just thinking, you know, like if you're a serious beggar, like we'll get it. We'll get Krishna's mercy. But the problem is we think we have something. We have something. Therefore, we're not able to ask Krishna for the real thing. And the most amazing thing is it's actually easy to renounce even a kingdom, Bhagavatam explains. But it's not easy to renounce false ego. It's most difficult, like we saw in the pastime of who's that? Who gave the land? Vamanadev. Who's the king? Bali Maharaj. Sorry. Yeah, Bali gave everything, but he had to, you know, ask Krishna to put his feet on his head. That's like renouncing false ego. It was the most difficult thing. So, as long as we think we are better than others, you know, we, like Amala Bhakta Prabhu gave beautiful class on this point. Like, you know, if we think we are better than others, that's a very dangerous enemy. Because as long as, you know, we are humble, we cannot think like that. But if we are proud, we can easily think like that. It's actually very dangerous for our spirit. There's this example of how this Brahmana, he would chant and he would do sadhana so perfectly on time, every day. And he was actually famous for his sadhana. And one time, he sat down but time for Gayatri, but then he fell asleep. And then somebody actually came to wake him up, said, "Oh, wake up, you have to chant your Gayatri." And the Brahmana woke up and said, "Oh, thank you. Who are you? Like, you helped me so much, who are you?" And the person said, "I'm Kali personified." "So you're Kali personified, why are you waking me up to do my Gayatri?" He said, "Oh, because you're on the verge of falling down due to your pride. So I don't want you to miss this Gayatri so you can keep going, you know. You'll become proud and fall down very soon. So that's why I came to wake you up." So this can actually happen. So a devotee is actually humble and always thinks he's lower than other devotees. Like we saw in the Krishna book, how even personalities like Vasudev, you know, Vasudev actually, not Vasudev. Vasudev, you know, is father of Krishna, but when personalities like Garga Muni come, he would beg him, like, "Please enlighten us. We are householders. We are like in Maya, you know. Or it's easily possible to get into Maya. So, please enlighten us." I mean, we can imagine, you know. Imagine if you're father of Krishna and then you go to a saintly person and beg for mercy. So this is actually the mood. So no matter how much we hear katha and how much we chant, if we don't understand these basic things, then it's going to be very difficult to make progress. We have to actually understand the theme. We actually have to understand like what we are studying every day, like what we are, you know, what's the goal. So these are some of the things I wanted to discuss. Does any of you have any questions or comments? Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah, I didn't realize, because you're not here that often, I didn't realize it was your car. And then when I realized, I said, oh my God.
I had to talk around and then I came. I heard you.
Yeah, she was mean. She could have just... Because she hadn't written it yet when we got up.
I knew she was writing it while I was standing there.